are listening to Comes a Time with Oteil Burbridge and Mike Fenoya. If you're digging the podcast, do these guys a favor and review and subscribe. It means a lot. Be sure to follow the pod on social media, YouTube, and if you're joining for bonus episodes and exclusive content, go to patreon.com/comesatimepod and get on the bus. And now, here's Mike and Oteil.
What's up, folks?
Hey, what's that you got there, Oteil?
It's Oteil. The new Comes to Time stickers that we passed out all over Mexico.
Is that one of those stickers that if you flip it over, there's a QR code on the back and you could scan it and get to all of our episodes? Holy cow, it is.
Ta-da! Those.
Beautiful.
Nice.
Wow. How gorgeous. Hey, everybody. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome to Comes a Time podcast. If you are joining us for the second or more time, welcome back to Comes a Time podcast. That is Oteil Burbridge.
And that is Mike Fenoya.
And we are freshly back in our homes, laundry folded, suitcase put away for the weekend from dead ahead down in Cancun, Mexico.
Man.
And what a time it was. Before we get into it, everybody, if you're enjoying the podcast, please like and share and subscribe and rate and review. Go to our YouTube and subscribe. It goes a long way. It means a lot. And we have a lot of great content in all those places for you. If you're into bonus content, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/comesatimepod, where you can find bonus episodes each week. We have merch. We have all other types of things. You have Oteil's Instagram and my Instagram, at Oteil Burbridge, at Mike Fenoya. And we have our respective dates on our respective websites. So for you newcomers, I'm expecting a few from the festival. So you're here, and thank you. And that's how you could support us.
You know what? I want to do on the road, we used to always eat at Waffle House late night.
Yeah.
I like breakfast and I would want breakfast late night. And you know, the Waffle
Nothing
House.
Nothing better, dude.
And they're like, honey, how you want that? Scattered, smothered, covered, chunk top, diced, tarred, and feathered.
That's great.
That's what I want to do for like, share, subscribe, rate, review. Let's add like five more, you know.
Flip, script, flabble, dibble.
Which reminds me.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. You first. What would be
I was going to say, what was your go-to late night breakfast order?
Oh, it's always just, you know, for me, breakfast is the same. I don't need a menu. I need to know if you have grits or not.
Okay.
You get grits at Waffle House.
Okay.
And if I was smart, I'd bring my own garlic powder. But it would just be scrambled eggs, white toast, because if I'm going to eat shitty, I'm going to eat all the way shitty. Just give me the Wonder Bread toast. And and now I'd rather do like turkey bacon or turkey sausage or something like that, chicken sausage. But back then it was just bacon. Grits, you know.
Yeah,
that was my jam. Still is, really. Yeah. Still is.
All right, interesting.
I may have like a single pancake afterwards to get a little sweet.
Yeah,
you know.
A little, yeah, I always do. Like if I'm really either sopping up the booze late night or we have a drive ahead of us. Yeah, I do a French toast. I like a French toast on the side.
But if we're gonna do waffle. Actually, if I'm gonna do a pancake, see. Waffle House was more for after the gig. Cracker Barrel was for in the morning. The morning
before you get on the road. Yes.
Because their pancakes, nobody can touch them. I'm sorry, International House of Pancakes. I'm sorry, Denny's. I'm sorry. Yeah. And a lot of people that make them fresh, I don't know what that recipe is. And the one in Evansville, Indiana, and we tried them all. We had the map. Yeah. Of all of them, that one had the best pancakes. It was, I think it was pretty much unanimous on.
Yeah.
The bus.
I'll tell you what, man, I like Cracker Barrel and I like walking around the little store after I eat just to see what kind of fun, like you know, lollipop stick, root beer flavored lolly stick I can eat. And you know what else I really love about Cracker Barrel is the peg game that they had on the table. Oh, do you remember the peg game?
We used to wear that thing out, dude.
Hell yeah, dude.
My favorite was the pictures. I used to call them the happy campers. This is before good dentistry. So A, nobody was showing their teeth. Nobody smiling. They're all like, and I think they had to sit still for the picture to like be in focus.
Yeah.
So they're just all like, and you never see anyone black. Like just in the last 20, I was like, a black person. Holy shit. You know, it was like, it was crazy, man. Yeah. I used to love that. I was like, happy campers.
Yeah. Yeah. I tend to always go, two eggs over easy with rye toast. Well done home fries and bacon. And I'll tell you what though.
Well done bacon too.
Well done bacon. Yeah. I don't like that. I don't like that slimy, the greasy
globules.
Mm-mm. Yeah. I'll pull that fat right off and throw it at the window. Yeah.
I'll sit there and just cut people. I see people staring at me. I'm like, that's right.
I've said,
I got the
that
flavor
stare
from it.
I go, do you want this? Cause you can looking have it. Do you remember those slimy, sticky hands that was like a thing of it was almost like slime and it had a hand and you could throw it against the window and it would stick? That's what that fat reminds me of. And I'm like, no, thank you. But
it reminds me of Spam. Remember Spam? We used to actually eat that.
I know. I know. It's just, I know. Did you like used to cook it or would you just eat it?
I think I got grossed out by it really quick and I was like, you know, but remember Devil's Food?
Yes.
Boy, was that aptly named.
That's like that snack in hell is Devil's Food.
Yeah, it's just salt. It's more
salted meat.
Mystery meat.
Did I tell you about the experience my friend had on acid with ham? Did I ever tell you about this?
Please, dude. I can't eat meat when I was. No. I was like, this is morally wrong.
We were in college, and he was someone who I'm always in great shape. One of my best buddies, always in great shape. And he would fast before taking psychedelics. It was just his thing. He didn't want to go into it on like a full stomach. He just wanted to like, you know, and
empty
stomach it, right? So, but you know what fasting was for us? Like he would drink beers, but no, you know. But, you know, no pizza, essentially.
Eating Taco Bell.
That was for after, if the diner was closed. But our buddy put one of those canned hams, opened it, and put it next to him and, like, flicked it, and it wiggled, right? So he was, like, watching the wiggle of the ham. And it literally, O'Teal, it turned him off of ham. He never ate pork.
He never
to
ate.
This like- day. It's been like 30-something years. He's not eaten pork.
He was
and he's,
correct.
It just did it. It did it.
It did it. He I'm was like,
yeah. He literally watched. He just watched pig meat just gelatinously like wave in his psychedelic wind, and he's just like, no, no, thank you. I don't blame him.
I just have to do a little bit every once in a while, not of the gelatinous anything, because I'm not down with gelatinous.
No.
But I have to, like, every once in a while, I have to have a McDonald's fish sandwich or something in fried, just so that I know if the apocalypse hits or whatever, like, my body can, I won't be totally screwed. Like,
that's funny.
My body can process.
Just slowly, you just keep a teeny tiny bit of commercial food poison, pink slime in your, in your system. So when
I
we
still
have to
won't
drink-
do the Subway though. Once I found out that the bread was yoga mats, I was like, we're done.
I think I was eating a Subway sandwich when I found out that it was made of yoga mats, and I was like, are you kidding me? I used to eat Subway daily, dude. Like
it wasn't daily, but it was on the list of proof list.
In college, dude, they had literally like, you know, like 2-for-1 days. Like you would just go get 2-foot-long subs.
2-for-1.
Pound
yoga
one, put another one. Yeah, I'm eating 2 yoga mats, dude. My stomach's doing downward dog while I'm it was ridiculous.
While
I couldn't believe
it. Right.
I know. Well, I can't believe that shit, man. I know. What are you going to do? The only thing to eat is stuff you grow or stuff you, I guess.
Well, kill. You got to curate, you know, like,
yeah,
you curate at the store, you curate your selection of restaurants. And then sometimes, you know, when we travel, it's hard for me, man, even just eating better food where in other countries where the food processing is not so as bad as here. Like, I'm sure France is better, and
sure,
although they may all be going down, but they got a rep to keep up. You know, they can't have Monsanto messing up the grapes, and you know what I mean? Like, they're like, stop
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Well, that upsets my stomach. Like, real food, my stomach's like, whoa, this is real food. Ah! You know, like,
yeah. like what's this?
It's actual vegetable matter, you know.
But, yeah, yeah.
But that's okay. It's good. You know, one day I'm going to curate my way, like, right off of all that stuff, hopefully. But
I'll tell you, and process. I think I sent you a link to this guy that I've been listening to and loving, Gary Brecka. Yeah. Dr. Gary Brecka.
Yes. I just got the kit too.
Oh, you did? Fantastic.
It's right here.
All right.
I just got it.
The methylation kit. So, you know what? I went on a diet once with my friend. She was a yoga instructor and a certified nutritionist. And we did this thing called the standard process. And it was like a 21-day raw food diet. And essentially what you did was you learned to shop in the perimeter of the store. You go on the outside, not the aisles. So literally nothing in a box, nothing processed, no caffeine, no sugar, no, I mean, like, olive oil and lemon and Himalayan salt and cracked pepper.
Yeah. That's kind of, we're on that tip.
Yeah,
we're on
that
tip here.
And I'll tell you what, 3-4 days of headaches, crummy sleep, self-imposed, I'm starving, I'm gonna die. And then I wake up in the morning and I'm like, oh my God, I feel like refreshed. I feel like I actually slept, and your skin clears up.
Yeah,
and
my hair well, gets would get shiny.
Ogres
don't have hair.
my head skin, O'Teal, was shining. My underhairage. and it was man, I'll tell you, by the end of it, I felt like $1 million. I felt so good. I think I lost, like, in 21 days, I think I dropped like maybe 14 pounds or something like that.
Wow. That's,
I mean, like, and not to be, you know, like very regular, easy, natural, like bowel movements and stuff.
Yeah, dude, that's how I gauge my health. We talked about that on a Patreon, I think.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
you poop
and you get older, it's like, oh yeah, I'm doing good, or woo, not doing good.
Yeah.
You know,
100%. You know, it was incredible. I ended that cleanse the Super Bowl Sunday.
And we went
to a place and I ate wings, dude, and I had one buffalo wing, and just to taste like a fried substance after 21 days of like bok choy and, like, you know, bone broth and whatever else, like, I ate one wing and I was like, uh-oh, I think I'm going to go home. It was rough. It was a rough comeback.
You couldn't have that, that cheese dip that says, you know, processed cheese food. It's not actual cheese or any, it's not actual food.
Dude, that's hilarious you say that. Cause when we talked about spam, sometimes I remember one time on Fish Tour, we were eating Lunchables and drinking Foster's cans. Cause it was like, Lunchables are gross, but we were looking through what to eat. And there was a can of Vienna sausages or something like that. Mm. I would never eat that. But you know what it said? Potted meat food product. So it was like separated meat product. And I'm like, what on earth does that mean?
It means somebody was going across the floor with that scraper thing. And
it's like Scrapple, dude.
Putting it all in there. That's what, what they're doing. Chicken feet and snake lips.
Yeah. Mechanically separated meat product, it said. And I'm like, oh my God, mechanically separated too. So, but yeah, so this guy, Gary Brecka, he, you know, and whatever you think of Dana White or
Which can't be much.
No. Or Steve Harvey or Stephen A. Smith. Those are the three I heard. They were all men that were on handfuls of medication, sleep apnea machines, overweight. And Gary Brecka is someone who was a mortality expert.
Well, he did it for the insurance companies.
For insurance companies.
That's all he did was like predict when people were going to die. And it was like depressing his heart and soul.
And he's like, if I could do this for good. So he was able to like figure out like, you know, because he was a human biologist. And now he's, you know, there's kits where, you know, most humans have like a couple of like genetic mutations, which I have one. I have MTHFR, which means I don't metabolize folic acid. And folic acid is a man-made thing that they spray on grains and stuff, right? So folate is real. Folic acid is fake.
It's man-made.
And they put it on because they used to say that children didn't have enough folate, so they made folic acid to add to foods. So anything that's enriched means it has folic acid on it.
Enriched means you're fucked.
And most people can, you know, break down and you methylate folic acid into folate. I can't. So if I eat white bread or if I eat rice or crackers or anything that's in like made of grains and wheat and stuff, but it's like in box and it says enriched, all pasta, everything I love.
That's what's going to happen to me.
And that builds up in your system. And they say that leads to depression, anxiety, ADHD, blood clots, which I had one when I was 25, and they think that's why I had it. So I'm paying a lot more attention to that now. And, you know, it's harder and more expensive to be healthy. It's so interesting, you know,
but it's so much harder and more expensive to be sick.
Exactly. Yeah. And more painful and more, you know what I mean?
And I think ultimately much more expensive.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Much more.
Yeah.
It's just how we prioritize.
I'd like to have him on one day to talk to us though about it.
I'd love to,
man. It's super interesting.
But I would love to. I'm hoping it'll work out for Nigel.
How, what a weekend.
I know.
Dead ahead, man. Wow.
How was it from the audience perspective? Because it was like, you know, I knew it was going to be so different from our end, because when you just change one person, much less five, you know, then it just, which is beautiful. And I'm like, yes, all the balls are coming in doing different things than they used to do. But like from the audience perspective, how was it?
I mean, well, everyone loved it. I mean, the lineup was unbeatable. It was just such a fantastic collaboration of people, all the bands, start to finish. When you say, how did the crowd feel? Do you mean about Dead, the main, like Bobby and, you know, you guys, or the whole thing, or what do you mean?
Just actually the experience, like we were talking when you guys were flying in.
Yeah.
And you're like, boy, sure are a lot of old people on this plane. And then after you got there, you're like, man, this is so much better than the Fish concert, because
it was the greatest scene.
Because it's older people. You know, it's like team wheelchair. Hell yeah. You
know? Yeah. Team epidural. So I went in with I have a herniated disc in my back. So everyone had get a epidural or get surgery. So I was kind of having conversation. People were showing me their scars, and I just want to say a huge shout out to Dan Berkowitz, who and everybody at like in that camp and that crew and Playa Luna Presents, and the staff and the security and the folks that drove the golf carts and the folks that took care of anything that we needed. And the staff at Riviera Maya? I can't remember the name of the, anyway.
Moon Palace.
Everyone was so sweet, and everyone was so great. And a massive shout out to all of the people who, the fans that I had so many unbelievable conversations with so many great people. And if you're listening eventually to this, it was so fun. And just thank you to everybody for, it was the most welcoming, kind, unbelievably like perfect experience of just like, everyone had enough space. Everyone had enough to eat. Everyone had enough to drink. Everyone stayed cool. The walk from A to B was not a country mile, you know?
Yeah.
There was room for people to sit if you wanted to sit. There was room to dance if you wanted to dance. There was, you can go in the water if you wanted to go in the water, you know?
I went in the water, me and Lamar. It was so great. They brought us these two big floaties. And, you know, I'm not really the American flag guy, so I was like super clashing with just one tie-dye on the board shorts and another one on the top, you know, just like. But Lamar went out there with me, and I said, you know, after much magic, a waterfall of magical blessings happening, and we're floating out, because I had said for years, you know, I would give anything to be able to go in the audience and be in the ocean and watch Dead & Co. If I could just clone myself to hear what the band sounds like, because I would see people in the ocean and be jealous.
Yeah.
So I finally got to do it with Lamar Williams Jr. And for those that don't know, the original bass player for the Allman Brothers was Barry Oakley. When he died like 3 years later, I think, or three or four, he was replaced by Lamar's dad, Lamar Williams Sr. J-Mo brought him in. So we're floating in the water. My dream is coming true. Don Was is up there. I'm in the... Eric, our video tech, got all the way in the water. Shout out to my bodyguard, JK, got all the way in the water.
The best.
Kept us from... Shout out to Chloe Weir, got all the way in the water. And I'm floating there with Lamar, and I said, man... You know that your dad and Greg Allman and Butch Trucks and all those guys, Red Dog, Joe Dan, I'm like, just, I said, you know, they're seeing this right now. And he looks over at me, he goes, today's my dad's birthday. And I was just like, "Of what a coinky dink.
What a coinky dink. Oh, yeah. Coincidences.
If you believe in that shit.
Yep.
Like after all the stuff that had been happening, just a dominoes a mile long flying down a magic impossibility synchronicities, and he goes,
I can't believe, I mean, I can't even say I can't believe it. It's just add another one to the list, dude. You know, you had the chance to you and I watched a little bit of Wolf Bros together from the crowd.
Mm. Weather report, sweet, long Terrapin. Hallelujah.
And we had so much space and everyone respected you. You know what I mean? Like there
was, I had the triangle of bodyguards. And Eric and Arthur. I had two giants and an ogre, and I was in the center of this triangle. Nobody was. They would come up and hand me a stare like sticker.
You know? And I'm like, let me see it.
It was great. I can never do that.
No. If anywhere there,
so
right?
Fun.
Yeah.
So fun. Thank you for that gift.
Oh, dude, please. I was stoked to watch music with you. Because I thought about it. We've never watched music together. We've talked during. I've sat with you until you're walking on stage, and then you know I go watch or whatever. But no, we've never had the chance to chill and listen to the Grateful Dead together. I mean, it's a special, special, special weekend, man. Really,
with Megan and Arthur and Eric.
Yeah,
like all my friends,
and Tracy and David,
Tracy Taylor, David Bader. Hey, man, just like so many. I just want to shout them all out. It was so fun, man.
Oh, dude, it was just, and you know, so for those of you that don't know the place, it's essentially like a 2 mile long beach, and the stage is set up to kind of like, if you're looking at the hotel, like to the left, and you know, most of the hotel rooms in the first hotel are reserved or taken by the heads. And you could tell immediately because tapestries started going up in sweet windows. It looked like San Francisco in like 72, I think. And everybody just was, you know, getting their bearings, figuring the place out. It was spaced out nice. The sound was impeccable. Man,
dude, every phone video, like, no matter who took it, just standing there like this, man, for mindset, shout out to Jake the Snake Cacciatore, man. Wow. My bass was like stuff that I was sure was getting lost in the loudest part of the guitar jam in Every Hungry Woman.
Yep.
Boom, boom, boom. And I'm trying to hit it hard. It was just like, wow. I was like, crispy, you can hear it.
Yeah.
Dude, you can hear every friggin' thing I was putting. I was like, why? I texted him. I was like, dude, this, and I know Derek Featherstone with all the headset. I know it was.
Everything sounded so good. Everything was mixed so nicely. And, you know, the first night headline. Well, so the guy, the kid, the, so like the guys from Goose Orobolo, they played
that
first.
Sounded so good.
So nice. And also what a great pick to start the weekend off. A nice, like, upbeat acoustic set, you know, Sturgill sat in, Bobby sat in, like, it, you know, it was just, it was excellent, excellent set. And I was really, really stoked to see the Wolf Bros. And I'm a fan of Cowboy Bob. I love Cowboy Bob. And they delivered, man. It was just beautiful. And you could tell he was loose and everything was off on a nice, like, you know, kick. And we got the chance that night, you and I, to just sit and catch up and bullshit, not to our computer screens with our feet in the sand and the breeze blowing and the ocean crashing, and just chatted, man, like just a good 2 hour, just session, you know? And then we're like, let's go watch some music. And then we went over and we set up camp and got down, you know?
It's great, man. I wish your back had been feeling a little better, because I love the ogre dance. The ogre dance, that's my shit, man. Seriously.
Yeah.
I love it. It's one of my spirit animals.
Oh, yeah?
It is, dude.
Yeah.
Because you go for it.
Yeah, get down. It's like, stomp your feet.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Got to do
it. Just stay still, then I don't know what's wrong with you.
It was all good. It was good. It was good. The music healed everything. It was, I'll tell you. And for all of you who are listening that maybe have back pains or deal with some stuff, I have like a lower herniated disc, and I didn't know if I was going to make it to Dead Ahead. Yeah. I had no clue. I had one doctor tell me, you immediately need surgery. I had another doctor go, you are so far from surgery. And I'm like, great. Last stop, anxiety. Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Yeah, your baby's going to die. Your baby's definitely going to live.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I give you 6 months. I give you 60 years. I'm like, okay, well, I'll just settle here in the middle and panic. So I decided to go, and I knew it was going to be painful. But again, it was set up excellently for all. It accommodated everyone, really. I'm not somebody, I was definitely not in the worst position. You know what I mean? Like, there were people way worse off physically. So I'm not complaining, but it is what it is. And then your set, man, let's talk about it. We all got together during the day, for rehearsal. You were kind enough to invite myself, Eric,
you get that Comes a Time crew in there.
Wife, the Comes a Time team. There's an arena on campus there, like an indoor space. And that's where you guys did rehearsal. Is that where you've done rehearsals all along before, like other years?
No. I don't think so. I don't recall rehearsing indoors. I thought we were doing them on stage. But my memory's not the greatest either.
Yeah.
Like I said, I had to choose between cannabis and my memory, and, you know, as long as I can remember the songs,
It was really neat to watch though, and I got a chance to hang and watch with Melvin's amazing, lovely wife. And God, what a cool, I mean, she's just, the minute you guys start playing, she's just bopping around in her seat and having such a good time, and her foot's going, and she's reading the paper and reading magazines and shit. And I'm just like, man, 50 years with Melvin. Yeah. You got that, you know, that groove. And we just started talking, and she was telling me all these great things about Jerry Garcia and their hang. Like, this is just the magical shit that was going on. Like this, that weekend I mean, I walk away from that, like, who gets to have this conversation? You know, like, what an amazing life. And, she was so sweet. And she said Jerry's Christmas parties were always the best, which I thought about that quite a bit. That he was kind of like Santa Claus. Know,
oh, God. Talk about the best Santa Claus. That's who he is. I've been trying to figure out, like, what is Jerry? You know?
He's Santa.
He's Santa, man. He is. Yep. He's fucking Santa. It's great. Ah.
And he,
we
got to
figure out what Don was is.
Oh my God. Yeah. I told you he reminds me of a tree. Remember we were talking about that?
Yeah. I think you're close. I got to show you this thing that Tracy sent. Tracy Taylor, because it's,
so cool hanging with her.
One of the guys from the Muppets.
Oh yeah. That's great.
I gotta turn this on so you can see it.
Can you hold it closer to the camera?
Well, I think you it blurs if I go closer.
Oh yeah.
But I'll send it to Eric and he can put it in the screen. And it's the guy that he has his hand on the thing where you blow stuff up. He would always blow everything up. He's like a terrorist. You couldn't even have that character now.
I know. Oh my God. Right. For real. For real, man. But yo, so you guys went on and just blew the doors off. Let's talk about the lineup that you had. So I mean,
I love that. Cause you know, my whole professional wrestling thing. So I try to talk professional wrestling to Tom, like, you know, it's about popping the crowd and all this stuff. And so there's this sign. It was the first sign that this dude, every time we're in the New York area, he has this cardboard that's just like pro wrestling. But they bring their sign, and it may be a really cheaply made. It's like he just ripped it off a box and wrote Tom something, you know, it just says TMF, some TGY, which is something like, Tom F. and Guarna is really kicks ass or something. You know, it's like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he brings it up. He's always has it when we're in the New York area. It was like, the dude's here in Mexico. He's like, yeah, I got the sign.
Was that dude that had the Tom Guarna socks?
No, completely different. So I said, Tom, this is how it starts in wrestling when they bring the signs. Then he goes, he sends me this picture. He goes, zoom in on the feet. And there's some dude at the pool. So he had done this before he ever got there.
Yeah.
There's little Tom Guarna heads all over. It looks like polka dot socks, but each polka dot is Tom Guarna's head.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, it's over, bro.
And do you remember what I wrote you back? I go, I saw that guy by the pool walking around with a bottle of wine and a whole coconut. That dude was having a blast. It was the middle of the day. And I'm like, he hasn't slept since a day before he left, dude. And I'm like, what's on his socks? And then you sent me that. And I was like, oh man, he's got Tom Guarna socks. This is how it starts.
I mean, Tom was free, and Tom's wife came, Catherine. So, you know, we're always talking aliens and really bad sci-fi movies and pro wrestling or whatever, like MMA. And she's like, oh my God, you guys are killing me, you know, but she was there for it. And she caught the,
yeah.
She's like, this is real. Like, this magic thing is real. I'm like, pretty magical, yeah. Isn't it? I don't think it was just like so crazy, man. Yeah. Shout out to Chris for flying you guys home private. Four of my friends got miracled complete free room.
That's
VIP
wild.
Tickets. They just said, you just got to get there by two different people.
Man, that group, yes, a big, massive thank you to Chris and his family and friends, and you know, that was the thing that kept happening throughout the weekend, was just these, like, I was trying to explain it when I got home to, like, I guess I went alone, right? But I was never lonely. I kept meeting all these different pockets of people, and there would be one person that was inextricably somehow linked to yet another person in a group that I had just hung with that was massive and close. And it was like, I was being welcomed, because I have I have those groups of friends, my lifelong buddies from high school, or my tour buddies and this and that. And I just happened this time to be, you know, you were my buddy there, you know, someone's like, who's your crew? And I'm solo. Like, O'Teal, I think. So, but what was great was that, like, I just kept being kind of like passed from group to group, but in like a great way. And I left with new friends and new family and plans.
It's like being passed around the Shire.
God, it was amazing. Yeah, man, it was really amazing. And it was like, I remember having too much to do at one point, and I was like, this is a good problem to have, you know?
Yeah,
like,
quality problem. Right? Yeah, can we slow this shit down?
Like,
a little?
Maybe I'll just put my phone off, like, shut it off and just take a nap for a second. But yeah.
The blessings are just like coming out here, like, all right, can we just turn this spigot off?
Yeah, do not bless. Do not setting. Bless.
Seriously, folks, it was that much. Like, it just
beyond
everybody,
comprehension.
Every friend of mine, if you got like, if a friend and of a friend got within like 4 feet, they got blessed. It's just like, oops, you got some on you.
Yeah, I'm sitting with my friend Brian, who I ran into, who I know from the comedy world, and he's sitting with and talking with someone who knows you and helped you a while back with something. And it's just like, oh my God, dude, like this. And I go, hey, look who I'm with. And you're like, they're the best. And I'm just like, O'Teal says hi and all this stuff. And it was just all so family, the dead, the fabric of the dead quilt or whatever, however you want to put it. I'm just thinking of this now or whatever. I'm not, what a thick, like tight, strong fabric that is, man. It's hemp or something. It's
tapestry. Tapestry.
Everyone was kind to everyone, man. There was one day where around the pool literally turned into like just a swapping of art and things and stickers and bracelets and decks of cards and poker chips, and everyone brought their thing to give to other people. And like, if you had something to give them, you gave it to them back. And it was just this, like, no one said, okay, here comes, now start the, you
the
know,
giving.
The swap meet.
Yeah. But it just is.
It just turned into it. And I'm like, I have a bag full of like phenomenally made like trinkets. And I'm just like, it was so fantastic, man. It was really just, everyone was happy. And, even to the point, want to talk about weird magic. Looks like
That's
rain.
What I want to talk about.
Do you want to talk about looks like what happened during looks like rain?
And I didn't notice it until the crowd started. And then when the lights would go a certain way, I was like, oh, wow, it's raining hard.
So,
right
now. So just to, it started to kind of like, I felt a drip and then a couple more. And Brian goes, it's raining. And then one of his friends looks at his phone and he's like, take a look at this radar. He's like, there's no rain. There was literally, we were looking at like the radar and there's literally, O'Teal, not a cloud, not a, you know, meteoric anything. We're looking up and it's
Aloosh.
Clear.
Aloosh.
And it is raining sideways.
Sideways, dude.
It was raining sideways.
Sideways.
Right?
So
you remember?
Was Poseidon just spraying the ocean up out of the ocean towards us? Because, like,
I think Jerry
seriously,
got a hold of the water gun up there.
Hey, man. The crowd. And when the crowd goes, you know, this has happened to me when I was at Grateful Dead 50, when Kreutzmann flew me and Jess out there.
Yep.
And we saw the rainbow and we were like, the first time I saw the Dead. When Popper put us on the guest list.
Yeah.
And I remember it was that original laminate from Aquarium Rescue Unit's first album got us all the way in through like layer after layer of security, right?
Wow.
And I'm standing there and I'm not even really checking the band out. I'm just checking the whole thing out. I'm like, this is, and it feels good. And Mickey starts drums in space and his wham. And out of, we're outdoors in Vegas. It's 100,000 degrees.
Right.
It's so hot.
Yeah.
Oppressive. Boom, thunder, lightning, rain, just. I was like, okay, wait a minute. What? When he's done, bup, goes away. I was like, really? Really? Now with the colonel, you know, I'm used to seeing. What was that? Did you see that thing?
I didn't do anything. This is so weird.
Your face is frozen and there's a big thumbs up next to it. That's great. Right at this perfect time, this stuff always happens on Comes a Time.
Oh my God.
That was the first time. Then Grateful Dead 50. Then Rainbows happened a number of times with Dead and Company while I'm in the band. Everybody's screaming and I don't know what's happening. I'm like, what's going on? We're not, what's,
yeah.
There's a big, huge rainbow behind us. So that's happened like 3-4 times with me.
Jeez.
And then, I think there was one where I think John put cold rain and snow in and it started hailing in Colorado. I was like, bad idea, you know, or whatever. And then, but the looks like rain, I was like, now come on. Like, come on. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
This is kind of a thing I found out about the Aleutian. They get used to the offerings, and if you don't leave them something, sometimes they get pissed. Just put out a piece of chocolate and go, guys, please, can I do this podcast? Here's some chocolate.
Yeah, well, look, I got another couple sips in my coffee, so they can have that at the moment. I don't know. What'd you get me into?
Looks like rain.
Yeah. So at the, I mean, the for those that are listening, that eventually when you hear these sets, you know, with these guests that were singing and all of the different members that were playing, each song really like led to like a huge ending. Like the like Looks Like Rain kept going and it was just so nice. And the rain literally just started to let up at the end of the song.
And then shout out to Brittany Spencer, man. Holy crap.
MVP.
The way she harmonized, the way their voices fit together was, I never heard Looks Like Rain like that. I was coming out of my skin, dude.
Yeah.
With their harmonies together. People that were not there, you must hear it. You
and
must
she's
hear
jumping
it.
Up and down at the end of the song going, this Woo! Is so fun.
Woo! Man.
She
such brought it, dude.
Yeah, she's such a wonderful person, and I mean, really, I got to hang with her a little bit and chat, and she's so sweet.
She is.
And then the song ends and the rain ends, and it's like, okay, they cooled us off a little bit. So I think it
what
was
another coinkydink.
I think it was Jerry up there with a water gun and a fan. But anyway, all together, just really an unbelievable experience, and I think a couple of takeaways I had were. Melvin, Bobby, and Mickey were the only three musicians that played that this weekend that actually played with Jerry, right?
Yeah.
But it was a full weekend of amazing Grateful Dead music. And it just
and
shows.
Garcia Band.
And Garcia Band stuff. And I'm saying, like, this is just the sign. Like, this thing is somehow only getting stronger. And it's, I mean, and it's getting more youthful blood put in. Like, man, hearing Rick.
And I'll say, I added some Allman Brothers Band in there.
Oh,
you know?
You did.
And, man, it was strong, bro. It was strong.
Cut from the same cloth, those two, you know?
Yeah, man.
And you're the bridge.
North, they're the east and west versions of each other.
Yeah. And you're the bridge, you know, and
now it's Dwayne. Me. It's now it's me, Jimmy, Warren and Derek.
Yeah.
We're the only four to have played in both bands, the Allman Brothers and the Dead.
Pretty amazing.
Connected, because they played together in the 70s at like RFK and stuff.
In Hartford, Connecticut, too. Yeah.
Yeah, but we're like, we bridged that gap, second generation, man. It's trippy. That's, karma is like that. You know, it just is what it is. It's bigger than you individually, like what yeah. you think about it.
But well, and I think
as you get older, you can see it. You're like, woo.
I think that as long as, you know, I mean, like, and this was 4 days of like Grateful Dead family on stage and off in the crowd. Yeah. George R.R. Martin hanging out, you know, like. Dude,
speaking of dragons.
Sturgill.
Speaking of dragons.
I mean, Sturgill Simpson put such a much needed, perfectly placed country.
Dude.
New country.
Mama
spirit.
Tried.
Oh, my God. And yo, shout out to Rick. From
Dark Hollow.
Everybody that played paid
Rick,
such
man.
Impeccable like homage to the songs, but played it with their own spirit.
Dude, and Rick's guitar playing, bro. Rick's guitar playing. Wait a minute. We got to take a second and say yeah. Rick's MF and guitar playing. All right, now we can go on.
Well, I'll tell you, it was fun Damn. Watching you two are on opposite sides of the stage, and I'm watching you connect. And it was just, I mean, he's just he's a badass guitar player.
Let me tell you, man.
And a phenomenal singer.
Yeah, and so is Sturgill. And let me tell you something, man. It ain't easy. I done watched Jokers do it for 20-some years, try to get up there after Derek Trucks. It's hard.
Derek,
it's not forgiving.
Susan,
you know?
Man.
They just brought it, man. And to, like, come after that. At all.
Margo Price did so amazing.
Yeah.
Everybody. I mean, literally just like you name it. Jason Crosby. I mean,
oh, dude. Yeah.
Your band was just so much fun. John Morgan Kimmock. I mean, Don. It was just out of this world. It really was
just
incredible.
I love this. Shout out to the string section and the horn section with Wolf Brothers.
Oh, that man. Show was beautiful, dude.
Steel, shout out to Celeste, man. Don was on electric. Bring it, brother.
Don was.
Yeah.
Don was.
That's a different ball game right there, dude.
Yeah. And he had Suns Out, Guns Out, dude. He had his pipes out. I don't think I've ever seen him without a leather jacket. I was like, this is fantastic, dude.
I know. It reminds me. I've got to get some hot summer festival wizard wear because that damn robe was for the indoors and air conditioning.
And people were asking me. They're like, man, was he
brutal.
Was he just sweating to death up there? I'm like, probably.
Dude, yeah. Yes, dude. I was so sticky.
That stage
you know,
was hot. That stage was hot. It was like a good 30 degrees hotter on stage than it was off. Like you walk right back behind it and you got like an instant like breath of fresh air. But man, look, I'll tell you, that was my first time at that venue. I know it wasn't the first time for you. I just have to say like genuinely, like I loved every second of meeting new people and, but I knew them already kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like running into folks, running into people stopping us at various times just to say like they love the podcast. I mean, thank you guys for doing that because it really means a ton. You know, we do this because we love it, but we hope that you guys love it. You know what I mean? So for you to stop, I was in the bathroom and a dude's like, bro, thank you for the podcast and tell O'Teal thank you. And I'm like, of course, you know, people backstage were. So, I forget who they were. It was kind of like an older couple. And she's like, honey, he's the guy that does the podcast with O'Teal. And this dude got up and was like, yo, man, thank you. I listen to every episode. And it was cool. Like this podcast has become part of the Dead family fabric. I don't know, man. I'm
honored because, you know,
too.
when you name a podcast after such an incredible, meaningful Grateful Dead song, you kind of have a responsibility to like, you know, I want to know that anytime if Mickey drops in on any podcast on, it's just on YouTube and like just hits play in the middle, just wants to see what the hell we're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Bob or Kreutzmann or Melvin, you know, or yeah. Donna Jean.
Yeah. Or Phil. Or,
yeah.
Anybody.
That they would, that they would be like, to know that they're approving of it. That's very, very friggin' deep and very meaningful to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because then I know that Jerry's probably approving it too. And so is Hunter. And so is Barlow.
And you know what
I
mean?
I met Keith, Barlow, so I know.
And Brent and Vince. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? We're serious about this legacy, man. I didn't know much about Allman Brothers or Grateful Dead, practically nothing. But for some reason, I was chosen to carry this. And tell you, man, Steve Kimmock said some stuff to me in Iceland that really touched me. He goes, man, you're carrying two heavy legacies, man. And you're doing it right. And it meant so much to me, man.
And it's base, too. It's the foundation, bro.
Yeah. I have to be the floor that everybody, that's why I say I realized I am the dragon. I thought I was the wizard. That's just my human form. I'm the dragon.
People, yeah,
I let the guitar players get on my back. Right? These mm-hmm. elves from Rivendell or the North Pole, as the case may be. Some of them are Santa's little helpers. And they've, you know, Jimmy's clearly Rivendell, Viking, Nordic. Yep. Right? Yep. Heading, you know, I take them up higher than they're going to go on their own.
Yep.
That's my job.
Yep.
To lift them higher than they're going to get on their own.
Yep.
And that's when I realized I am the dragon. I was born the year of the dragon, and 2024 is the year of the dragon. You think that's a coincidence? Well, then you just can't see. Yep. Comes a time when the blind man takes your hand and says, can't you see? Don't you see?
Yep.
Won't you see is really
yep.
what we're talking about. So
yep.
people, it's real. The magic is real. That's all I got to say. I'll shut up now. I got to go pick up my mama.
Well, and I'll say too, it's an unbelievable honor and gift that I'm, you know, 17-year-old me would not believe that, you know, people are stopping me at a Grateful Dead festival in 2024 where I'm doing a podcast and performing stand-up comedy at this festival, you know, with you, and people are stopping going, thank you. I can't even tell you how, and we had to talk about the difference between pride and humility yesterday. Yeah. And maybe that could be a whole episode one day, but like just yeah. how I didn't feel pride. I just felt humbled that like, the yeah. things we've talked about are making these people who I get to stand here and watch the music with and laugh with and swim in the pool with and eat with. And they're all enjoying and getting things out of what we do. Just like I, who had Jerry hanging on my wall and Pigpen hanging on my ceiling and Bobby and, you know, it's like the soundtrack of my whole freaking life. And here I am with them and with you and with everybody that was there. And I genuinely, that's a weekend I'll never forget. And I'm so happy for the friends that I've made that I know I'll, you know, hold on to forever. And it's special. And I've been doing this a long time, lots of festivals, yeah. lots of whatever. This one was different. This one was special.
It is. It's not stopping.
No,
it's going to keep going. Yeah. It's still going here at home.
Yep.
I hadn't even told y'all all the stuff that happened there.
We'll do another one.
With the Alouche, with the Mayan elves. Shout out to Diego Ruiz. Turns out he was a chef. Everything we ate was cooked by this guy that's an expert on the Alouche. And if I do say so myself, I think he's Mr. Tumnus in the Chronicles of Narnia.
Oh, yeah?
He's one of those Narnians. Wow. Look at him. Look at him. You guys will see it. We interviewed him for Comes a Time.
Nice.
Beautiful cat. And you know what he said? And I do have to go pick up my mom. He said, Oteil, you have everybody talking about the Alouche. This is good. And he wasn't just talking about the people that came for the concert. He meant the Mexicans that live there. He said the Alouche are very happy about that.
Nice.
And I'm going to send you a picture. There's a Ceiba. I said, there's a tree called the Ceiba tree that is sacred to them that they live in, basically. And in the place we're staying, there's a big ceiba tree. There's two of them, but one's called the ceiba garden, where they grow all their own vegetables and herbs. And so all the vegetables and herbs that we're eating are grown from that ceiba garden.
Wow.
And I took Nigel and Kavi up there, and Eric, I'm going to give you these pictures. And we put some candy down in the ceiba tree, and I took pictures of them with the offering, then backed up. Then we went to the other one and put one there. And when you look, if you get right up on the tree, it's like there's horns coming out of it. All these teeny little cones that were very sharp.
Wow.
Like the tree has horns.
No way.
Hundreds of them.
Like a dragon's tail?
Like a dragon's skin. Yeah, like a dragon's tail. Yeah. Yeah. You'll see the picture. I took it like I got right up close so you could see exactly. Mm. Okay,
tail.
We got to go. Dude, you just got me.
Hey, give your mom a kiss for all of us, okay?
I will.
She's... I love you, buddy.
Love you too, man.
All right. See you guys soon.
Pantheon Media presents Comes a Time, featuring Mike Fenoya and Oteil Burbridge. Executive produced by Christian Swain and Peter Ferrioli. Produced and edited by Eric Limarenko and Stu Silverman. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Comes a Time with Mike Fenoya and Oteil Burbridge. Be sure to follow the pod on social media, YouTube, and if you're jonesing for bonus episodes and exclusive content, go to patreon.com/comesatimepod and get on the bus.